What's up, Survivor?
Love is like a coal fire. It makes the train go chew.
Survivor support group.
Help me out. Make me sad.
Hi. I'm a Power Ranger.
Haley Williams owns my ass.
Give me the scales of life and death.
Becca, no.
Becca. Becca, I want to bully you.
Yeah.
What's up, survivors? It's Dylan, one of your hosts. The other two aren't with me today. You may be wondering, hey, why are you... What is this? What's going on? I've heard this episode before. Good for you. I'm glad you've stayed with us since episode one. But here's a little rundown. I'm releasing episode one into the main feed because things are pretty rough in Tennessee for us right now. Drag's been made illegal, which is its own can of fucking stupid lawmaking decisions. Billy is a coward, an idiot, and a hypocrite, and I can't wait till he's out of office. But a lot of the Survivor team, we feel threatened and unsafe. We're not only are two-thirds of us queer, a third of us is trans, and we all have trans loved ones, and it's a scary time to be queer and or trans in our state, and we're, you know, feeling threatened and not really into making a lot of new content at the moment because we don't know how long we're going to be allowed to exist as people. It's a scary time. On top of that, there were some bad storms in Tennessee. And it knocked out Becca and Charlie's power. And Charlie couldn't leave his home because there was a tree in his backyard for a while. So making new content this week was not possible. So instead, please enjoy our first episode. We didn't always talk about Kirk Cameron movies. We used to trauma dump on each other. In fact, that's how we became friends. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you don't listen all the way through, that's fine. Just go and leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on iTunes. We do go check that. We do read it. And I'm thankful for all of you and for 3 years of making a podcast, which is something I always wanted to do. So that's awesome. I'll probably come in here every now and then and put some little interstitials in here just to change it up. Consider it a sort of podcaster's commentary, if you will. I just said that in the moment. Let's see if I follow through on it. All right. So with that in mind, please enjoy episode one of Youth Group Survivor Support Group. And like we always say here on the podcast, slug a bugger.
Bump me out. Make me sad.
Hi. I'm a Power Ranger.
Haley Williams.
Everybody, real quick, listen up. Everybody, up front. Listen, everybody in the audience, I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to close your eyes. So everybody close your eyes real quick. Just take a moment now with everybody. Close your eyes now with every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Nobody look around. Everybody, I'm serious. I want you to think about your youth group. I want you to think about it. Take it serious. What's your relationship like with your former youth group? Do you remember it at all? Like, if you remember it, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want you to raise your hand. And with every eye closed, nobody looking around, trust me, you are safe. Like, I want you to keep your hand up. I see you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. You back there. Thank you. Yes. Yes, you. I see you. Yeah, you in the black Under Oath t-shirt standing next to your friend Kyle. Thank you. Yes. Now, I'm going to have the band come back up here and play through the chorus of How He Loves one more time. And if you need to talk to someone about your decision to remember your time in youth group, we're going to have our prayer teams down front, and they're going to be here to be with you. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Youth Group Survivor Support Group. I am your host number one, Dylan Davis, joined as always by my delightful co-hosts,
Charlie, Alan,
and Becca Stogner.
Yeah, all right.
Woo!
And each week on this show, we will attempt... Oh no, everything's gone off the rails. We'll try that again. Today's topic... Nope. Cool, we'll try that again.
Where do you want to start from?
Each week.
Okay.
I'm the only one that's fucked up so far. You guys remembered your names. Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll try again. Each week on this show, we will attempt to discuss a different topic pertaining to our past as youth group kids. And if you're here, then you survive too. Go you. Yay. There's so much that's going to happen on this show, probably.
There's going to be sketches.
Guests.
Games, possibly.
Yeah. All right. So today's topic is possibly our broadest. Today, we're going to be discussing just youth groups in general. Now, for me, I was raised in an evangelical home by a grandfather who is a pretty much Pentecostal preacher. Like he, he's in it. He's both feet.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was in it.
Is he like speaking in tongues Pentecostal?
Oh, I have. Really? Our whole family has.
Okay.
Well, maybe not my brother and sister, but I have.
Yeah. Y'all prophesying?
Prophesying, oil smearing.
Ooh.
Miracle seeing.
Wow.
Demon banishing. I've been at a kitchen table and had the demon of homosexuality kicked out of me more than once. Yeah, that worked really well for
them.
I mean,
who amongst us ain't had the demon of homosexuality banished from their...
This changes so much for me, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, no.
Do you think it worked?
No. But, so, it was obviously expected from me from a young age. I was gonna be in church. It didn't matter. But from, like, a young age, I was also like, fuck this noise. I don't like this. I have to be somewhere. From a very young age, you tell me anything, like, hey, you have to be somewhere. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not gonna enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like pulling teeth. But so pretty much I was in like children's church and youth group for the time I was 5 until I was 18. So that's where I spent my Wednesdays and Sundays. My mom was in the choir. Like I went to one church. I went to a Nazarene church, which was weird coming from Pentecostal roots to being in a Nazarene church where everybody else is like, hey, Jesus is cool, man. They're like, they're like Baptists, but they can wear shorts.
It's like very much a surfer dude, Jesus.
Yeah. Just like, man, we're really into Nazareth, you know, like right on the banks of the Mediterranean, you know, we're really like Euros. It's pretty neat, man.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my origin for youth groups. I'll leave it up to you to decide who wants to go next. Kind of give us your origin, like where you...
Yeah. So I was raised Methodist, so everything was pretty much open, like chill, liberal, like I guess you could say.
Methodist super liberal for as far as churches go.
Yeah. Well, but we're still in the South, so it goes like to a point.
Oh, true.
But
do you think it's more lip service?
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine. You don't have to know. That's all right.
But I did a lot of Sunday school, and then once youth group started, like towards the end of middle school, all of my best friends were in youth group. Yeah. So I went Sunday, I went Wednesday. Like
that's how they get you, man.
Yeah.
That is how they get you. I was there all the time. And then like kind of towards the end of eighth grade, shit hit the fan.
What happened?
We'll get to it eventually. Yeah, sure. It's a lot.
That'll be one of our more serious moments, I'm sure.
But so then I switched to a different Methodist church, had a whole different experience. So I've only ever been in liberal churches and my parents have forced to go. Mm-hmm. But then I started having hella anxiety attacks and being no one likes me. And I don't like to eat pizza this often.
Yes, pizza for everything. So good
I'm still like that. That's still basically my diet.
High school was me kind of sliding in and out, but not being that active. And then I went to a Christian college. And
did you? What college?
Lipscomb.
Lipscomb.
What did we do? And here we are.
You gotta love Lipscomb. Lipscomb has the distinction of being like the most Christian of two universities on that one block. It's like two Christian universities that are in
Belmont and Lipscomb, like right next to each
other? They're like right down the street.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
It's really close.
And Belmont's pretty Christian, so
yeah.
If you're beating it, then yeah. Is it me? Is it my turn?
Are you? Did you have anything?
No.
Else?
No.
Okay.
All right. Hell yeah. I went to church all my life. I went to a Baptist church. Like I think it was technically in the like Southern Baptist Convention or whatever.
Ooh,
but
boy.
Even within that I feel like that's a sliding scale of like how vitriolic and I don't know, like Islamic phobic and
oh
and
yeah, they were big on the never forget train.
Oh, you gotta love that shit.
I spent most of Wednesday 9/11 saying never forget and just watching my patriotic friends' faces just contort with thinly suppressed rage at me for not taking their holiday seriously.
We might get to that. Yeah, go ahead. We might talk about the Bush years at some point and being in the church.
Well, what kind of conservative religious podcast would it be?
If we didn't, exactly. Yeah. But I also went to like Christian schools all growing up. So all through like literally pre-K until I graduated high school.
Wow.
And then did Christian musical theater from the time I was like 10 to I was 18.
Yeah.
And that like took up all my weekends. So like sure. I was cloistered, baby. I was in the church like 24/7.
Charlie the nun.
I was like a Protestant monk, basically.
Yeah.
I'm also from Virginia.
Okay.
And what I'm gathering is that Virginia is a very, it's like an epicenter of like specifically evangelical, like conservative Christians.
I've heard Virginia. I've also heard Indiana is a big one for that.
My girlfriend's from Indiana. And so
okay.
we're both a little apostates. So it makes sense.
You all need to read the graphic novel Blankets. It's got a lot of these similar themes in it.
Absolutely.
Craig Thompson. Check it out. Anyway.
I have a lot of friends who went to Liberty University, which is like right around
there. A girl that I fell in love with was at Liberty and she used to sell cocaine.
Hell yeah.
Before she got saved and before I got saved, we knew each other. And then when we got saved, we were both like, do you want to like fall in love? And then, and then one day she was like, I've turned off my feelings for you. And I was like, that's not how those work. But she went to Liberty.
According to Mormons, it is.
Yeah.
I have. Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you guys do any soaking? Because also according to Mormons, that works.
No soaking for me. Just mostly dry humping and
hell yeah.
Sad blowjobs.
I'm pretty sure soaking is like, it's wet non-humping. It is the opposite of dry humping.
Yeah, it's kind of like hoping the T-Rex doesn't see you because their vision is based on
movement. It's the opposite of dry humping, not sex.
No, because
wet slapping. Because the opposite of dry
in the Venn diagram of dry humping and sex, humping is in the middle section.
The opposite of dry humping is that Baptist mom that says idle hands are the devil's tools.
Yeah,
I think it's in the Bible. Soaking.
Yeah, like my first boyfriend's mom.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Gross.
Oh, man. You love to be lectured about your sex life by like a 40-year-old woman. That's some of my favorite shit, baby. Nothing is more central to the Christian experience.
Than the grating voice of a put-upon housewife.
Or like being, you're in youth group. And then they're guys, we're going to separate the boys and the girls.
Let's rip. And then the youth pastor's like, let's wrap it out about sex.
Yeah, exactly. You have like a boys room with the boy pastor.
When we do the purity movement.
Yeah.
I have so much to say, and I might bring my best friend Ben on, who is a pastor now, but he has so much to say about how the purity movement negatively affected people.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He is a pastor, and that is his opinion. And
literally everyone at my school, every dude, no one came out unfazed. They were all broken by the very concept of courting. They were like...
courting, oh my God. So many stories.
Yeah, they didn't know how to interact. They didn't know how to be horny.
Yes.
You know, I think this is honestly like a problem with a lot of teenage boys where they're not like given a productive way to be horny.
No, especially not with like limited. I don't know about you, Becca. I don't know what it's like for women. I don't. But I know that my sex talk involved my dad getting in his Toyota Tundra and driving with me the 45-minute to Opry Mills from Clarksville, where he couldn't look at me, and then eventually said something along the lines of "sex happens."
Yeah,
it was pretty much a sentence, and then I was like, cool.
"The lady has a hole, and it's just for husbands."
Yeah, Dad.
She'll probably deny this, but at one point, my mom was giving me a sex talk.
Yeah,
as we were driving through the neighborhood, just like a casual one, and got too close to a neighbor's mailbox and completely knocked the entire side view mirror off of our car. So I just remembered, like, and it was a casual talk, but I just remember her, like, yelling about sex being punctuated with our side view mirror flying off. And she didn't even notice and just kept talking. And I was like, we have to go back.
Yeah.
And the neighbor was on the porch, like, in his robe with a flashlight, because I guess he thought something had happened. But, so the same, I guess.
Why do y'all have your sex talks in cars?
I don't know. It's the only...
We had rooms, right?
We did have rooms, but my dad, I think, thought he was going to make it a bigger deal.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He was going to get in more in depth. He's really going to talk about it, but it turns out he couldn't, which I still to this day am confused. I was like, well, you at least did it three times. Like, you at least had fun three times.
My mom is also going to deny this, but it's so funny. One of the first times I had, like, the sex ed unit in youth group, I came home from that and I was like, whatever, like, relatively unfazed. She sits me down. I think I was like in eighth grade at this point. And she was like, so I am not a virgin.
Oh, really, Mom? Okay.
No.
And I was like, what? I think that ship sailed,
Mom.
I'm supposed to reveal that to you. Yeah. It's supposed to be the other.
Well, I've met your mom, and I could see her totally flipping that role. Like,
yeah.
Where she's like, I have to tell you. Hey, Becca, I have something to tell you. And you're just, like, sitting in your room. You're like, oh, yeah, come in. Whatever. You can tell me anything. You know that. It's like, make your mom sit beside you.
Becca, I drink alcohol. I drink alcohol with my friends sometimes.
That's kind of the relationship we had when we were reading the Twilight books together.
Oh, God.
She was reading the book ahead of me so that she could, like, kind of, like, you know, block out anything that was too sexy or
that
whatever.
Repressed Mormon
but
housewife's
she would, at certain times, she would come running in and be like, something's happening and I can't tell you what it is, but I just have to talk
like
about it.
Like an old movie starlet?
That's
like,
cute.
Like Blanche DuBois.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
Now, okay, in sort of that same vein, can I ask y'all about Harry Potter?
Oh my goodness.
Were you guys allowed to read Harry
Potter?
Not
for a while.
No, ever.
Yeah. But not for the reason that you would think.
Ooh.
What was your reason?
Yeah. My reason was that I was a kid with an overactive imagination and I would not be able to separate the fiction from the reality. So I would think that Voldemort was like actually going to come get me and stuff.
Wow. You'd be like every 30-year-old I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Harry Potter is real.
My dad said the same thing to me while also like, okay, so I could never read it for the reason that it was literally a school of witchcraft and wizardry, which is a big no-no. In the evangelical circles, like, I mean, that is one day where we're going to play a game. I've already designed it where you throw out things from the 90s and I tell you whether or not I could do it. and then bonus round is you get to ask me why. Because I know all the reasons because I asked repeatedly. Now, Harry Potter, I actually did see some book burnings, like a couple.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember who did it.
Do you remember which books?
It was at least the first four at the time. It wasn't all seven. Yeah. They weren't all out, but they got whatever copies they could get a handle on. And they were just like, this right here's an instrument of the devil.
I feel like the peak evangelical fervor about Harry Potter was like when the first movie came out. Cause it was like, oh, this is a cultural phenomenon now.
We have to shield our children now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then like once the seventh book came out, it was like, this is just like basically for adults at this point, or it's for like older teenagers.
It's for like teens. It's becoming YA. It started out as kids lit and now it's YA. Yeah. Okay. So switching gears a little bit, not much. Yeah. It's still in the same, God, this is all so good. I want to ask a question that is a little more serious, but is open to riffery as well. You don't have to take it. It's whatever. It's us. It's not going to be serious. But I know my answer, and it won't surprise anybody, but I want to know what your relationship is with faith overall today. Like, where are you at today? Because this is also important to know what lens we're discussing this from.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a unit, so we can know. Because we all very clearly have different angles that we're coming at this from.
Yeah.
And we all have very definite opinions about it, and that's why I want to do this. I was just interested to see, Becca, I'll go to you first, because I want to see what your relationship is like with faith overall. Yeah. Any faith at all.
I definitely don't go to church anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Christmas Eve service this year because my family made me. I was on Tinder the entire time, for what it's worth. But
God bless us, everyone.
Yeah.
That's Dickens. Kind of, that ain't the Bible.
Oh, really? That's not in there?
Sort of just my experiences through youth group and then going through Lipscomb and then I've kind of, I wouldn't say I'm jaded or anything,
right.
But I don't, I'm not actively participating in any kind of faith. I guess I would identify as an agnostic because okay. I feel like there's something and I feel like everything that everyone does is completely valid.
Right.
But I just don't, I'm not actively doing anything for myself.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay, cool. I'm glad to have, I like that. I like to know that sort of thing. So that's cool. Yeah. Thank you, Becca. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm youth pastoring the shit out of this.
No, no, it's good.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you.
I mean, yes, if there's any fucking show that should have a youth pastor on it, it's got to be this
one.
It's
your
one,
main
right?
youth pastor. Yeah. All right, Charlie, where are you at?
You know, I would say I'm generally in the same space where it's like, I'm definitely not a Christian. Right. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I think Christ is a valuable guy. I think he had a lot of interesting things mm-hmm. to say. I think that if you're like, anytime you're looking at the Bible as like, everything in this book is written by God, that is a bridge too far for me. You know right. what I mean? Like you and I just like almost can't even have a conversation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say who could deny that there is something like divine and mysterious about existence? You know what I mean? It's yeah. like the human experience is one of constantly trying to like suss out what is going on
yeah.
and using metaphors and using like half truths to get there and never quite getting there. And so to me, right. like Christianity is another one of those half truths. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like there's stuff in there that is, I think like does speak to the human experience, and then there's like stuff that I just think is patently wrong. You know what I mean? And yeah. I would say probably the same is true of like any at least any worldview that has to do with like what is beyond this life. You know?
Yeah.
I think it is just making guesses, making hypotheses, I guess, yeah. but you can never quite get to the real thing.
Really cool death fan fiction.
Oh yeah, yeah. exactly.
right. Okay. Yeah. I that is beautifully worded. That was amazing.
Thank you. What yeah, about no you? Problem. I know that you are a little more amenable to
Christianity. I am. Yes. Yeah. So I was not a Christian until I was 19. So I would say I would have considered myself just, I wouldn't have said like an atheist, but I would say nothing.
Yeah.
I knew in my head, I always knew something supernatural has to exist because I had all these really, I had all these really dark spiritual experiences growing up. I didn't experience a lot of the lovey-dovey stuff that everyone else talks about.
Yeah.
I experienced waking nightmares and like, just hearing dark voices and just like
I can see
demonic
why they like
horseshit.
Yeah, like why would they exercise demons out of you for that
yeah.
reason? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. I was plagued by it. I was filled with fear
yeah.
from a young age of everything dark, but I wanted it at the same time. Like, because I'm very attracted and interested in the supernatural, the occult, the macabre. Just I like that stuff because it's so much more mystical than the light side of the force, I guess.
Yeah,
to me,
absolutely.
To me, not always. There are some really cool good guy shit that I love.
Yeah.
Like anytime I hear a story about a hero of some kind doing something incredible, I'm just like, fuck yeah, it's so cool. Like I used to like long to hear stories of Samson just saying fuck you to everyone in Judges.
Right. But he's like a bad guy.
He is. He's not a hero,
yeah.
but he is a person you point out in the Bible. People
he's
make him a hero.
He's on the good team.
He's on
yeah,
the good
yeah.
list. But the man straight up murders folks and says fuck you to everyone.
Yeah.
And like he's yeah, I was just always into that. So when I became a Christian at 19, I went head over heels into it from the time I was 19 till probably 22. It's a very short period of time, but when I turned 21, I became homeless and I went through a very long period of like depression and not understanding why, if I just had all these amazing miraculous experiences, why this happened.
Yeah.
Which points to some problems in my in some privileged areas in my life, and I understand that and working through that as well. But like I still believe there is a God. I still believe that the most because I've experienced so much, I was like, there can't be anything else. Like, there has to be something supernatural.
Right.
I've learned so much from the Bible itself, like both how to treat and how not to treat people, from my own experience in church, like how you should treat people who you may not agree with, and how you treat them is often very different because we like our cliques, we like our communities, we don't like to be challenged, or especially in the church, which is like the one, like Jesus's whole mission seemed to be to challenge you
and to like leave the church and go out to the people.
To recognize, in my opinion, Jesus's whole mission was like, hey, this used to be a spiritual thing and now it's a political system that rules your life, and I didn't come to take away from the things that matter, like God. I didn't come to take away from God and what he said, but I did come to say that what you're doing is wrong and you're hurting people. Yeah. And it's not about you, it's about God, and
it's about, my mission is dismantling that political system.
My mission is to make you stop worrying about what you can get and start worrying about what you can give, like, is what it felt like to me. And I really resonated with that. And I still resonate with that. But over the past 2 or 3 years, I've really gone through what is happening in most of these circles of people, my age and younger in the church. And it's a period of what seems to be called deconstruction, which is, you know, just a word, but like in a philosophical sense, I've got a Rubik's cube that would be my faith, and I've taken each cube off of it, and I'm looking at each cube and deciding if I actually, like I say always, like, take what's useful, leave the rest. Like, what's useful?
Yeah.
And what am I leaving? And when I put it back together, is it still the same puzzle, or do I need to get rid of it and find a different puzzle, you know? But that's where I'm at. I much like Pete Holmes would say, I'm still very Jesus leaning, because I feel like I met the man, and what an experience. But as far as, do I have all the answers? No. Do I like what people I would call my spiritual family are doing? No. Do I agree with him? Not at all. But again, it's all personal experience. So like, that's where I would say I'm at.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, I feel like there's no better time in your life to be doing a podcast like this. You know what I mean? Like, really doing a deep dive on like Christian culture. Yeah. Although obviously Christian culture isn't Christianity. You know what I mean? That's sort of
It's more of like a pop culture almost.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like this bizarre subculture that has sprouted up around these people who mm-hmm. believe one particular thing.
Yeah.
And it's basically because they do tend to isolate themselves mm-hmm. into like a little tiny clique, and they just have like a culture unto themselves that no one else knows about. So.
And it's crazy, here in the South, in the United States, we've made it white Christianity.
Oh, yeah.
White American Christianity, which to me... I was fortunate to be taken to, God, this could be a really white thing to say, but like diverse churches. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they,
I
don't know how that for us too.
Their tagline is diversity.
Right.
And I was
you're saying you went to churches that like were about diversity. Like that was their thing.
About,
okay, nice.
About
that's
having
cool.
a globally inclusive congregation. So if I went on any given Sunday, I could meet someone from Peru, or I could meet someone from Niger, or I could meet someone from India. I never knew.
Yeah.
And I went to music festivals where it was very much the same. And I was walking around, I was like, this is what heaven is like, isn't it? Like, nobody looks like me, but they all act like me. Like, that's awesome. Not like me. You know what I mean?
But I understand,
like,
what you're saying.
As in, we all act human.
Yeah.
And it like really broke down that isolationist view I had. And then when I started we're all performers here. We do comedy, we do improv, we do sketch, we do, some of us may dabble in stand up. We have the fortune of being self-aware.
Right. Yeah.
And then that makes you wonder why other people aren't. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but I find myself like, why don't you, do you not, almost like a Bible verse, like, do you not see, like, yeah, all those verses that start with, do you not see what you're doing? Like, why are you doing this? Why are you wearing a shirt with Jesus dabbing? That's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking seen. What are you talking about?
It's a shirt that looks like the box for like a Skittles or something, but yeah, it says like Christ.
Taste the rainbow. Yeah. It still tastes the rainbow, but it's Noah's Ark. It right. doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I got a shirt once from a Walgreens.
Oh my God.
Because this is the South, that was like neon pink.
Okay.
And in yellow letters, it said, I found Mr. Right, but the T was a cross.
Oh, nice.
And it had.
Baller.
Yeah. Oh, no, it gets worse.
Are you Mary Magdalene?
Are you wiping
maybe
with hair and perfume and tears?
And like in black, like letters that look like they were like handwritten kind of on the shirt. It was like, he takes care of me.
Right.
He, John 3:16. And it was just like the weirdest thing I think I've ever owned.
I do feel like there is a sort of like, how do we bill to young girls how cool Jesus is?
Oh my
and like
God.
Normally it's like he's so sexy,
upset.
Right?
I'm so upset right now.
He's like hot.
Oh God, there's such a failure. I can't even speak on it. Becca, I want all the research you have on how churches have mistreated women.
The only thing I've noticed about like, I don't know, every like the marketing campaign, if you will, I guess for youth groups is always like a one word, usually like two or three syllables.
Yeah. Oh, that way kind to get of, it back on youth groups. You are good. Nice.
That kind of doesn't mean anything, but kind of does at the same time. Like ignite, merge,
passion,
breakthrough.
Yeah. Oh, well, we may get into this at some point in the future, but I did like basically what is School of Rock, you know, School of Rock, like the strip mall music lesson thing. I did one of those called Passion Academy, and they were how I released my first like five songs on Spotify.
Oh gosh.
And the guy who was running it, one of them was like a con artist. Can you imagine that? An evangelical startup guy being a con artist?
You should all
artist?
Watch The Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
I just heard that today.
It's so fucking good. Yeah.
I love any and all documentaries about scam artists.
I love
when people lie and get their comeuppance.
This is a Danny McBride. It's like a sort of a continuation of his
like Southern
saga.
his love and deconstruction of Southern culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you've got Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals, and Righteous Gemstones.
And how white Southern dipshits who are dudes fail upwards continuously.
It's a ugly yet beautiful portrait of debauchery and the hottest graphic design trends of the time.
Yes.
They're on board. They always hire some nice graphic design student fresh out of like Christian college to be like, yeah, sure. Okay.
I feel like before you had your Ignites, your like Unifies or whatever, it would be like the Spot.
Or okay. like All the right. generation. Here we go, here we go, here we go. This is where we're connecting it.
Yeah.
What was your youth group called?
One of them was called Orbit.
Orbit? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you divide junior and senior high?
I think, yeah, there was like junior, there was like Orbit middle school and then Orbit like high school.
Do you have a name for it?
I'm trying to think. Elevate is stuck in my head, but I don't know.
I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. Mine, I had the shirt until I was 22. It was called The Rock House.
Ooh.
And it was a coffee shop that was independent of the church.
Huh.
So every Wednesday night and Friday and Saturday night, we would go to this coffee shop where we could have Smash Brothers and Soul Calibur tournaments and then have a church service and then go back to playing video games.
Interesting.
We had
Smash Brothers for your soul, am I right?
Yeah.
I learned more about God playing Smash Brothers than I ever did reading the Bible.
I did learn that he doesn't always let you win.
Yeah.
Most of the time you're actually going to lose.
Yeah, that's true.
So they do like those like trendy hip names to try to pull people in, which now as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's brilliant marketing. Get kids in by not saying we're about God. And then when they're there, they're already full of sugar.
They fucking know. It's not like they're tricking them that much. You know what I mean?
Maybe I was just naive. I was like, I'm already going to hear about God. It's just cool that I don't have to go to a place called church.
I think like, that is what the appeal is. It's if you're going to tell me about God, at least you're going to let me play Soul Calibur and give me some pizza.
And I think as a teen, nothing is more important, at least to me at the time, than not being somewhere that might be misconstrued as not that cool.
Yeah.
Like
the food was a big selling point.
Oh my God. They figured out there's like teenagers love food.
Yeah.
Give them food, give them sugar, cheese, fat.
How do you think they figured that out? How do you think they made that discovery?
I don't know. Cause it's like a Southern thing too, is like, they won't stay, feed them. They'll be here
that
forever.
Is true. Yeah.
And then with Southern teens, it's like, well, they're outside sweating all day. Who knows what their home life
every
is like?
Youth
pump them full of junk
ever
food.
Been to has someone make a house made lemonade that tastes like it could burn through metal.
That much sugar. It can just melt the hole.
Like you drink it and it like stinks.
And you have to like water it down with the wateriest sweet tea you've ever had in your entire life.
Sweet tea. Yeah.
Somehow equalizes and just become a very refreshing iced tea with lemon.
I feel like all of my like what I think the platonic form of barbecue sandwich is comes from Wednesday night dinners. And also maybe like
you
like
saying
tacos.
Wednesday night dinners physically just did something to my body.
Did you shell up?
Oh God.
I think so a little
bit. The weight crushed you.
I haven't heard that phrase in such a long time. Yeah.
So I was about to ask, what do you guys think? Like the time that you have to spend at church, your Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, I'm going to like Sunday morning and Sunday nights, I'm going to split up.
Yeah.
What do you think is the best time? And what do you think is the worst time?
Oh my God. The worst time for me was Sunday night. Let's just let me go home. I'm a morning person. Sadly, I cannot get on a night. And I want to do comedy. This is great.
Yeah.
Traditionally, you know, that good old pastime of doing comedy in the morning.
Everybody loves to hear some stand up at 10 a.m.
I had a joke that never worked that I always wanted to land. It was like, where are my 4 p.m. open mics at? We can all go get that, get some nice appetizers, be home by 7 with a remote in one hand, the other hand down the pants. Am I with? Who's with me morning people?
I just always thought Sunday morning was the worst.
Why?
You don't want to get up.
Okay, that's true.
Two, depending on how old you are, you do have to go to the adult service.
Oh, yeah.
Which blows. There's like coffee and donuts, but there's not hot chocolate, and you're still at the age where you're like,
coffee's gross.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and then you have to walk around with your parents, and all their friends are like talking. I don't know. I think Wednesday nights was the best for me.
Wednesday nights was my favorite for sure.
Yeah.
See, this is crazy to me because I was going to say, I think Wednesday night was the worst.
Really?
Because there never seemed to be that much like structure. It didn't seem like we had anything to do. It was just like, we're just going to talk about God for like an hour and then you're going to go home. You know what I mean? Whereas at
but
least,
it was always like 7 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So and at least night's with done. Like, Sunday or like Sunday night, I knew, you know, there's going to be some variety here. They're going to sing, they're going to tithe at some point. They're going to have, they might have some like weird passion play.
Right.
They're going to have a song. There's going to be announcements or something.
Sure. You're going to break it up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think that is my reasoning, but
now mine for Sunday night is because I knew the school was the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you guys ever been to Clarksville?
Yeah.
I actually went yesterday for the first time.
Yeah. So I lived in the very countryside. So not the Nashville side, but the like other side.
You were in the Tennessee side.
Yeah. I was on the side headed towards Dixon.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, from my house to my church in downtown was a 40-minute drive.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm up at 5 on a Sunday morning. I'm done by the time my mom gets to choir at 8. We're done with first service. I have to stay through that Sunday school, second, and sometimes third service. So I'm not getting out till 11:30 noon. We go eat at somewhere like O'Charlie's. The only fun I had was that Sunday morning. I'd sit with my best friends, because all my best, that's something we need to talk about, is like best friends in youth group, because that's
still some of my truest friends.
My, well, sadly, yeah. Well, no, three of them still are. But
yeah, all like mine fucked me over of bad. 10. But okay.
We're gonna talk about it, because I need to know. But like, we would go to O'Charlie's, and by the time my dad finished, he was always the last one done, and he wouldn't let us leave until he was done with his sweet tea, and he would always clink the glass to see how much was left. He wasn't looking at it because he's too busy talking, and he just like clink it to hear how much was left. If you could hear the ice, he was done. And we just wanted to get home because we had 9 acres of land. My cousins had 12. My grandparents had 22. So we just had this sprawling country land that we could just run around on.
Yeah.
And I was like, can we go? Can we get home? I want to do that, not sit here. And like, if we had to go back for Sunday night, my weekend was shut. I had nothing to do on Sunday night. So I hated Sunday night service, because I was like, you're taking the only thing that matters to me on the weekend.
Yeah,
this is totally related, but not.
Okay, that's fine.
I once had a waitress at O'Charlie's shame me for drinking my sweet tea too fast.
I had a lady look at me weird for getting three mountains. I had just finished
coming off like a day of doing speech and debate, and so we went to O'Charlie's.
Stressed out, slamming sweet
tea. And so I stabbed that straw and like drank the whole one, and like, I mean, it wasn't that unreasonable. It wasn't like I drank it in front of her and like slammed the glass down.
Although that would have been a power move.
I drank in like maybe a minute and a half, and she came back over to take our order, and she went, well, damn.
Okay. All right.
And I was just like really embarrassed.
Oh, no.
And ever since then, I cannot drink my sweet teas too quickly at a restaurant, because I'm like, someone's going to say something to me.
I think you're in the clear.
Yeah.
I think you need some like...
Well...
What's it called when you are afraid of something and they put you in a box with that thing, but you're safe?
Oh, it's wow! What kind of
immersion therapy?
Yeah, that's the word.
Immersion therapy. Fear factor. But
yes.
Also,
I
fear
think
factor,
you need a fear factor. I need you. You gotta get fear factor. More like faith factor. Am I right?
Oh, have that shirt.
I'm sure.
Have that shirt.
That was someone's youth group.
Yeah.
Bible study, and you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was. Yeah, I remember. They were orange shirts with the Fear Factor logo.
Oh, no.
With the yellow and black, but it said Faith Factor. Hey, they were ugly shirts.
God's going to make me eat a bug.
But that's okay.
I love him.
He's my best friend. It's going to turn into manna.
I feel like the only downside for Wednesday nights for me was that it's always led by, like, the cool pastor.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Who's, like, all trying really hard to be hip. And they always make the mandatory joke that's, like... And back then, they didn't have iPhones, and everyone has to be like,
I didn't have that problem. Okay, here's the age difference. We had flip phones.
Back then, they didn't have iPods.
Yeah.
We didn't have iPod shuffles.
Well, when I was in youth group, the hot ticket item was the Nintendo Wii.
Whoa. We played Wii tennis.
So they would kind of guide it to like, back then, you know, Jesus and the apostles weren't whacking around on Wii tennis. They were.
So here's, okay. I have heard youth pastors do that, because my youth pastor would always go, ugh, when he heard the jokes.
Yeah.
So I realized how fortunate I am, because these are the youth pastors we used to go to events and see.
Yeah, dude.
Our youth pastor was in a like Dove Award winning rock band.
Which was it?
Desperate Little Children.
I don't know.
It's okay. It was like really like sounded like any 90s like... alt rock band sounded like Hootie or Goo Goo Dolls. Not that good.
Oh, okay.
But they were really cool, like genuinely cool people. They didn't try too hard. It was him and his wife, and they led worship already, but then they were also youth pastors. So they were just like, I mean, okay, cool, whatever. We'll lead the youth group. And they were really inclusive and always had stuff at their house. And like I said, they were just cool people. And the guy before him was the one that we were talking about earlier, had the pill addiction.
Yeah.
That left on a Sunday morning. He's like, I fell back into the
habit. Was that on the pod?
No, it wasn't.
No.
Okay. But we'll get to it.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a whole episode about weird reasons.
Oh, it's coming. That's a teaser, baby.
Teaser. YGSSG exclusive. But His name is Pastor Mark. I want to get him on the podcast so bad because he lives in Hendersonville. He's super cool.
Yeah.
I liked him so much and I wanted to be like cool to him so bad. And I would like, he's really funny and his wife was cool and she was really pretty. And it was like one of my first crushes was his wife.
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, well, can't say anything. It's like, no, you fucking can't. You're 14, you idiot. Shut up.
And she's married.
Yeah, and married. And has a son.
This sounds a lot like the plot of The Room, but go on.
So, like, I was so thankful I didn't have the pastor before named Pastor Nick, because Pastor Nick was like friends with all the jocks and like he made sports like the big part of the youth group because that was what he understood. And that what I find is more normal is like these like, we're going to play kickball for 6 hours. Right. Like, I like playing kickball, but like an hour tops.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
One game.
And youth group extreme sports is another one we have to do at some point.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you guys ever play four men on a couch?
No. What is that?
It's fun. It's really fun. It's basically like you get the whole group together and everybody trades names.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then you like try to get all the people of one gender on. I guess you sort of have to play it at church, or you have to play it at a place where like you're like, modern gender theory is bullshit, because you sort of have to consider
it
a binary.
Yeah. Considerably to yeah. play in our circles.
Right.
humans
for
on the couch.
Whatever.
For
just let's just beings? Call each other's
beings
names.
Of light. Can we call you beings of light?
No. Dylan and I talked about at one point, I think when we were planning this, that we both had messy games at our churches.
Yes.
Where it was like Twister and like tag, but with mustard
cream.
And
yeah.
There at one
none
point
better being sticky at
one of our youth pastors dove into like a kiddie pool full of like spaghetti and just orange liquid. Like God knows what was in it.
The grease.
Very
the
cool. Grease.
But there's a picture of me.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me on the Facebook album for it somewhere where I'm drenched in oatmeal and looking very confused.
My profile, this wasn't at church, but this was at Christian Musical Theater Camp. you fucking lose it every time I say just the
it
words,
Chris. So you,
I wish I could. We might have to have like a commentary track on like one of my plays because I'm pretty sure
can
I have like
do
the
a
DVD.
Riff track?
Oh my
Dude,
god,
we definitely should.
Then when I find all of my interpretive dance with Dalrod's videos that I have somewhere,
oh, we're gonna have to watch the song that I wrote called the worship song that I wrote called "Explosion of Awesomeness."
What?
Oh
the
yeah.
Heck?
Oh. Oh yeah,
oh,
baby!
Oh my god!
But
that might
be
the one I bring in for our favorite worship song episode. That's where I
bring
in yours.
It will not be your favorite worship song. You'll be like, all right, who could deny this is a song? I see why it was only performed one time.
It's definitely in a time signature. It has a rhythm.
There's like, you got to see the video because there's it's my whole youth group band and that they just like let anybody who wanted to play music in. So it's
everybody gets to make their own joyful noise.
Exactly.
Everybody just make this is something. All right. Before.
Yeah.
This is my favorite church thing. I used to do bits in the middle of service when this would happen with my friend Trent. I'd be like nudging him and he'd look at me and you could just tell it's because the worship pastor heard someone who couldn't sing over everyone else. He's like, that's all right, everybody just make a joyful noise. Everybody gets to make their own joyful noise to the Lord. It all matters to him. That's right. It's just so much.
Oh my god. And you always have that girl who's standing next to you singing with their hands cupped, like
the cup
doing
dude, what is with the arm raising thing? What are you touching?
It's an act of surrender.
She's
is what it
doing
is
doing that and harmonizing
right.
at
I'm
the
sorry.
Same time.
All right.
I kept my arms folded across my chest, baby.
Like a just, cool guy.
Yeah, I would sing, but all my friends wouldn't, and I would feel bad about it. I'd
oh,
be
yeah.
like,
I oh saw a TikTok about it where this that position that I'm referring to was called the My Fish Was This Big worship position. But that girl was always like either singing louder than everyone else or harmonizing and like trying to be impressive.
Yes, we had a girl who did the same thing, and if she heard you singing, she'd sing louder than you.
Yeah.
You can't sing a harmony louder than me.
Yeah, that's not how that works. It's
louder
a
than
melody.
The melody. Yeah.
isn't how harmony works.
Yeah, I never experienced any sort of harmonizing to worship songs in my Christian musical theater group. No one ever once harmonized to a single. They never even bothered.
The theater section of Lipscomb Chapel is, that's all it is.
It's just, it's just stomping and clapping.
Yep.
I don't know. It's dangerous once you get, oh, dude, the absolute worst people in my IMHO were the people who went to my school who were into theater, but also into Christ. Because my school was like trying to be like an Ivy League. No, no, hold up. Okay, I'm talking like, oh, this actually might be you.
It might have been.
No, I was going to say like the people who were like, my two loves. Jesus Christ and the immortal bard, baby.
That was not me. It's me now.
I'm sorry.
I was talking about, I like Jesus, and also I'm playing Hamlet.
You do it good, though.
At one point, you might be able to see it in some of the videos that I used to make on my Facebook, but behind me, like on the wall in my bedroom, were these big silver letters that said, theater plus God equals life.
Wow.
Oh, that's cringy.
It's, yeah. And then at one point I was like, and I took them all down and I did something even cringier and wound a bunch of the letters up so that they look like a plant and put grow in God on it.
Whoa. Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were into it.
So I was.
You were into it.
As I sit here with one of my pant legs completely ripped from top to bottom telling you that I did this.
So I wasn't into it. And my grandparents were like, hey, so you do plays. You should. Hey, you ever thought about pursuing a career in like Christian acting? And I was like, gag. And I'm still like, gag. Never.
You could have been in Fireproof.
I could have been in Courageous.
Yeah. You could have been in Facing Giants. God's Not Dead.
What was the one that was Kevin about a car? Sorbo. There's one that's like about, I think it's called like Radio Flyer or something like that.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. My grandparents love it.
Yeah.
So my grandfather's days now consist of sitting at the computer watching Westerns on YouTube and then traveling upstairs to sit with his wife and watch Westerns and those Georgia Brothers released Christian movies coming out of Atlanta that are all a glow on all the billboards in Nashville.
So my friends who go to Liberty, the Liberty Film Department every year releases a film, like a feature film that they've created, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was this past year. I think it must have been 2018. The film that they released was called The Trump Prophecies. And it's about a dude who foresaw, like, just like a podunk jet ski salesman in Florida who, like, foresaw Donald Trump becoming president before he even started running and was he's going to save our country. And it's like all about, like, lionizing this weird dude.
That's horrifying. So there's also a movie coming out from the same people in Atlanta, the production company. It's the Kevin Sorbo when they make guns illegal.
What is... I didn't even know about that one.
So it's like a... The movie demonizes Antifa as these guerrilla terrorists
who,
of course,
once guns are outlawed by the liberal government, Kevin Sorbo is the only man with a gun, and now he's an outlaw because the only outlaws, whatever that saying is about only outlaws will have guns.
Yeah, right.
That is the tagline for the movie. And you all need to watch that trailer because it is
intense. What's it called?
I don't know because I tried to scrub my brain of it.
All right.
Kevin Sorbo, he plays the ugly professor in God.
He was Hercules.
Hit by a car.
Kevin Sorbo was Hercules in the 90s on the TV show.
Oh no. Huh.
Him and Xena teamed up a few times.
No shit.
Yeah.
Did they ever make y'all have like movie nights at youth group?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They would always show really shitty movies.
Because
unless one time it was Remember the Titans.
At one point showed us Pay It Forward.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you know how it ends. It's a terrible movie, so I'll just spoil it.
Haley Joel Osment
is good to everyone this whole movie and then gets stabbed at the end.
Yeah.
What? Is he a child?
Yes.
Yeah, he's baby Haley Joel Osment, not Haley Joel Osment.
Fresh off the Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Maybe before. uh-huh. probably around that time.
Yeah.
And he's like, he does good deeds for people, and it's just like, no, just pay it forward. And then I think he's trying to help someone and gets stabbed by yep. muggers and doesn't survive.
Nope.
What the fuck?
It's gross. It's
I
gross.
Always get that movie confused with Ashton Kutcher's Butterfly Effect.
Those are not the same.
They are kind of the same. They're about sort of the same. It's like, okay, a little white boy with sort of a moppy haircut has to think about how things lead to things.
You made it work. You made it work.
See?
You shoehorned it in.
Now, have you guys seen this?
It's like that new meme where like, Haley Joel Osment could do the Butterfly Effect, but Ashton Kutcher couldn't do Pay It Forward.
Yeah, honestly, that is true. Fuck Ashton Kutcher.
He's done so much to end sex trafficking.
Sure, fine. You know what would really end sex trafficking?
Not having
the pedo cabal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's Epstein one. For new listeners, which I suppose is everyone, because this is the first episode, we are keeping a running tally of every time that I bring up Jeffrey Epstein or any of his associates, because I have a brain poison where I can't stop talking about it. And so that's that.
It's my favorite thing
in
the world.
Wait, have you guys seen the new Christian movie? And I don't know what it's about.
Oh,
and I have no idea. But the title of the movie is Overcomer.
Oh, yeah. It's the one about the slightly fat track coach trying to make a black girl run faster.
Is it really?
It's sort
Please,
of that.
No.
Now, do you think
it's sort
that
of
they
that. I'm
knew?
Not, don't hold
First
me
of
to
all,
that.
An overcomer is not a noun.
Yeah, that's not a word.
It's not.
Oh, no. It's based on a song.
Really?
They took a song titled by Mandisa, I think.
It
she sang the song,
not,
You're an Overcomer.
Oh, my
it's
God.
It's still not a word.
Have you guys ever heard the Mandisa song, Good Morning?
I believe I would have had to have.
I will maybe bring that one in as my selection for when we do the CCM show.
Yeah.
But the Toby Mac rap in that song is brain numbing. It will just like remove all the folds in your brain until you just have like a marble, like perfectly clear.
You could feel yourself becoming dumber.
Because the whole song is just supposed to be like this pump up song that's like, I'm having a good time with Christ, right?
Yeah.
And he
We're
does that like
morning.
The least subtle, where he like the first 3/4 of his rap is just about like what he likes to eat for breakfast and like how fun it is to wake up.
Ugh.
And then he's like, by the way, I like the Bible. Hippity hop.
Everybody hates that shit.
Yeah.
I'm
exactly.
a morning person and I hate that. I'm like, no, don't rub it in everyone else's face.
I can't stop thinking about an overcomer just being someone who ejaculates
too much.
Right? What else could it mean?
He's like, it's some man admitting to his wife on their wedding night. He's like, hun, I have some terrible news. I'm an overcomer.
And she's like, it's fine. It's the hilt and they'll wash the sheets. Or maybe
know,
they
I,
won't. I
keep
can't remember.
Picturing like the in hentai when they come and like the pussy leaks come.
Oh yeah.
A way to get extremely blue immediately on your youth group podcast, Charlie. But
look, we weren't allowed to listen to or look at this stuff. We found it anyway.
Yeah.
And now we're allowed to do what we want and fuck that.
I mean, we basically this whole episode has just been like talking about what other episodes could be. But we're gonna
did
have to
answer some questions.
Yeah, that's
true.
That
we had for each. Oh, that's an important point. I'm going to set up an email account for us, and I want to encourage you as a listener, if you have any stories about your youth group experience, about how you survived, how you came out on the other side, and you are either questioning or you've decided what you are, what you think, we want you to email us, and we'll add that in.
Yes, I have had several people actually ask me if we were going to do that.
Yeah, and so I think that's really, you have.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I want to make that available for people. I want to have, I'm sorry I don't have that today. I meant to do that before this so we could mention it, but I'm going to make a Gmail account specifically for this podcast so you can email us your stories or your questions. And I personally, I don't know about the other two, I'm assuming the same way, but I would love to answer your questions, hear your stories, and just see where you are as a person today. Like, because I think... Oh, God, I just love this so much. It's so cathartic for me, because a lot of the times in comedy, I feel like I don't have to hide who I am at all. No one's ever asked me to do that. But I do feel pressure to be like, hey, maybe shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe rightfully so. But I don't, I just, this is a good opportunity for all of us to maybe just, you know, release some of that just built up scar tissue and let it go, and or find out why we need to hold on to it, and we can share our stories and feel together and hopefully share a laugh or two.
Yeah.
And hear this more about hentai pussy squirts.
I mean, to me, this podcast is like 2/3 podcast, 1/3 group therapy.
You know what I mean? I hope so. Yeah. I really do.
I loved that so much. That was the most youth group pastor thing you have ever done.
That is why I think you are perfect for
as
this.
As soon as you said maybe share a laugh or two.
Oh, God.
Spiraling.
I have become Pastor Mark.
That's good. I want to say, I think that this episode is a great amuse-bouche because it's like introducing all the concepts that we're going to talk about or whatever.
We've introduced our characters.
But listen, we have to have a porn episode, I think.
I think so, because I have a lot of thoughts still about porn.
Me
how
too.
It's how that and the way it's been presented to me has ruined me sexually.
Yeah, we also live in a uniquely pornographic time.
We do.
It's okay. So coming of age, dude, in that, I think, is really interesting.
Porn is a big one. Yeah. oh boy. All right. So this has been Youth Group Survivor Support Group. I'll let you guys sign off, and then I'll sign off, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have anything to say.
Okay.
You guys are great. That was fun.
Do you want to plug your book?
Yeah, you want to plug your book?
Becca? Oh.
Yeah, get back.
I have a book out. You can buy it if you want. I would like to plug my new improv team, the Freeform Fellas.
Freeform Fellas,
we are recent cage match winners at Third Coast Comedy Club.
Yeah. Okay.
And we are coming back to reclaim our title on Wednesday, October 9th at 8. So love to stack the crowd, have everybody cheer for us again.
Okay.
So that our bullshit just keeps on getting bullshittier.
By the way, they were phenomenal. It's perfect the way they've structured it. It fits their personality so well. Becca came in and Asa looked at me at one point and said, like she did with Danger Jr., this is my style of comedy. Asa is my wife.
Hell yeah.
She's a little 12-year-old boy. She's great. I love her to death.
I got
to
see him. Yeah. I haven't seen you guys yet. I was supposed to go to a Shakespeare thing over the weekend that I didn't go to because I'm a bad student and a bad friend. And I missed him. But I have to see him in the future. I'll come to that cage match for sure.
Do you have any other plugs?
I don't think so.
Okay. Charlie, any plugs?
Yeah. I'm Charlie Allen, American Landmark on Instagram. I'm Piano
Worth
Pest.
Worth a follow. Worth a follow.
Piano Pest on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Find me at The Real Charlie Allen on the Facebook.
Nice.
Mark Zuckerberg's The Facebook. You can find music that I've written and performed under Charlie Allen on any music service, Spotify, Apple Music.
Which is bomb as hell.
Yeah,
it's so fine. Good. I wouldn't be mad if you listened to it because I get like a fraction of a cent.
He's underselling it. He's a great musician.
Really
they're
good.
Fun. If you enjoyed hearing Charlie as much as I enjoy
more
hearing
more songs
talk,
are coming out too, and one more song's
great.
Coming out.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna set a date yet, but. Yeah, I think that's basically it. I'm Charlie Allen. Also, check out Danger Jr.
Yep.
Just Google that. We are good, and we do the improv, and we are raising hell, baby.
That's right. That's right. For me, plugs. We got Infinity Etc. at Third Coast Comedy Club next Friday night at 10.
Oh, yeah.
Come check out what I describe as an improv kegger. it's so much fun. We just tear it up. We light it up for 90 minutes, and we just leave exhausted. It's so much fun. You won't want to miss us having a sober, blackout, drunk experience.
And that is Friday night the 20th, because I don't know exactly when this is dropping.
Oh yeah, I don't know either. Well, you might have missed it, but who knows?
Fuck it, dude.
Who cares? I'm gonna plug it anyway. The 21st is the Third Coast anniversary show. of September. You can check that out online. Buy tickets early. It sells out. You can see an improv troupe of men called Murfreesboro Improv do their Halloween Spectacular on October 26th. And you can catch us at the East Side Comedy Festival in East Nashville on October 16th at 6 p.m. You can also catch most of us, I'm pretty sure, at the Third Coast Improv Festival coming up in November. More details as events warrant. You can also catch me in Inebriated Shakespeare next year as Hamlet, which we'll talk about that at some point. That's fucking cool.
That's Dream of mine. Awesome.
It's going to be so much fun.
As Hamlet in Hamlet.
That's how I described it, because I didn't want people thinking I was playing King Hamlet, the dead ghost.
Hey.
I mean, it's important to me that people
know. Well, I don't know if Shakespeare
Hamlet.
Has any other Hamlets running around in some of his other shows.
Yeah, well, you're right. I think somebody called it Hamnet in another different play. It doesn't matter.
Or if there's like some
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Goofy, right. Like some play? Goofy jester named
such
Hamlet. Like
one of my favorites.
I don't know. Oh yeah, that is a great play.
Just waiting around for actors to come in to give them something to do.
You gotta love
so
that
good.
Shit. Yeah.
It's so meta.
Avant-garde nonsense.
Yeah. I dropped my phone loudly during a production of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, and they worked it in beautifully.
I'm sure they did.
I felt like ass about it though.
We gotta let's see. We gotta close this out. So we got.
Hey, I have a. Idea for a way to close it out.
Okay.
If you're ready.
Yeah, let's go.
I think that we should sing the doxology.
Oh, what is the doxology?
So like praise God from whom?
Okay,
right,
ready?
Okay, yeah.
A one and two and one, two, three, four.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our first episode. You know where to find us on social media. Heyo, it's Becca. For Becca, Piano Pest. For Charlie Allen, American Landmark, Dum Dum Dylan. You can find us anywhere on social media. Check us out. Check out Becca's YouTube channel. Check out her vinyls collections on TikTok. Check out my TikTok. You know where to find us. And I hope that you have a good week wherever this finds you. And like we always say here at YGSSG,
Becca, I want to believe. Yeah.